Carrying and birthing your baby is an inherently physical and dang near athletic event, and there are ways we can prepare our bodies to have the best chance at a smooth, simple, uncomplicated birth experience. This is exactly the work of highly experienced doula, Krisha Crosley, of Train for Birth. Today on the show, Krisha and I talk all about the idea of training for birth and how the parents she's coached over the years have an average first-time birth length of only 8 hours. That's fast. She discusses the ways modern human movement is a disservice when it comes to birth and how we can counteract this truth with intentional daily movement. She offers several resources to parents, and some are even free. Have a listen and get inspired to work with your baby and your body to bring them across that birthing finish line. Here we go.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
But first, a moment from our sponsor, the best skin healing product that I've ever come across. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company that makes natural, non-toxic medical-grade sprays and gels to help support skin healing by using something called hypochlorous acid, which mimics the natural healing response that the body uses itself. Very intelligent and an absolute game changer for a huge variety of skin ailments, including burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, rashes, stings, eczema, acne, and more. I highly recommend carrying a bottle in both your bag and your car. I use it on my baby, my dog, and my acne-prone skin. It's such a smart product, and we think you will love it. Head to activeskinrepair.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off your order. Okay, on the show today, we have Krisha Crosley. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's always exciting, I think, to have different guests, and especially for me to have guests that are so like-minded, and I've been following your platform for a very long time. And for anybody who doesn't know who you are, I want to read your really awesome bio so that we can have a good understanding of like where you're coming from and all of the work that you do, because I think it's all important to know. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll start going off on our birth rants, which I think will be really fun. Okay, so your business is called Serenity Life Doula. And you are a natural birth coach and trainer, lactation educator, belly binding specialist, and essential oil educator since 2014. So it's been a solid 10 years. Good for you. Congrats. Krisha's birth coach passion lies with her with first-time moms and women with a heart of an athlete who desires a home or birth center birthing experience. Since she was young, she had the passion to help others live a happier life and encourage them to accomplish their goals through action and accountability. Being a Division I collegiate volleyball athlete, woohoo! What position were you?
Middle blocker.
Middle blocker. How tall are you?
I'm 5'10". I'm a shorty.
Oh my gosh, but you must jump.
Oh, I could jump so high when I was fast. And I played all the way around back in the day. You know, they don't do that anymore, but I was fast, quick, and I loved it.
Wow, that's amazing. I was a middle blocker, but I couldn't jump, and I was not competitive at all. And I think all of my coaches were just like, come on, come on. And I just didn't care. You know, sometimes you just you just don't care. Anyways, that's awesome. I love that. You earned a Bachelor of Science in Biology from Southwest Texas State University, and you've taught your life skills as a leader. Oh, this has taught you life skills as a leader, coach, trainer, and you help others to learn to advocate for their desires. Krisha has taken all of her athletic training, education, and birth doula knowledge to create an amazing natural birth workshop. It's called Train for Birth. It's for expecting families who desire a natural birth experience. Her workshop has a unique athletic perspective on childbirth to train the body and mind specifically to build endurance and stamina by certain stretches, exercises, movements, and techniques to endure the natural throes of labor. Krisha has also been serving expecting parents on her social media platforms. Your account on Instagram is called Serenity Life Doula. Very highly recommend you guys all go and follow her because I love your videos. I learned so much and they make me laugh and you're just like, you're funny. You also have a free birth prep 101 class, partners at birth classes and natural birth webinars to provide natural birth education across the world. Krisha resides in the Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas area with your husband of 27 years and your two adult children, young adult children. Her overall goal is to educate expecting families so that they know how to advocate for their birthrights, birth choices, and then train them for their desired birth experiences to lower the unnecessary cesarean rate in the United States. Healthy mommy, healthy baby, labor on. I love that.
Thank you.
That is awesome. And so before this, we started recording, we were talking about like all of, I love this perspective of the idea of training for birth, because I think that it helps to elucidate for people the idea that, and it's like, okay, well, women were not training for birth hundreds of years ago. And it's like, no, because they were just living these very active lifestyles and they were in a deep squat, you know, like washing the laundry and picking things in the garden and doing all of these things that we don't do now in modern day. We sit in desks often for our work. And even if you're sort of like up and walking around, it's just not the same thing. Our modern society has changed a lot. And I think that when people have that sort of attitude about birth where they're like shocked that the birth outcomes are the way they are, or like they're shocked that cesareans are going up, and it's like, well, yes, there is a bit of a medical complex side of that, right? And the power trip and the wanting to like push women into a little box, and birth is very unpredictable. It's not like that. But also we have to remember the chronic illness, disease, and the type of food we're eating and the inability, or, you know, our lack of physical movement and all these different things as well. And so it's really awesome, the idea of thinking about this event as an athletic performance event, and you would want to take those weeks of pregnancy and, you know, prior to, you can always do it beforehand if you wanted to, but continue throughout your pregnancy as your body is changing and shifting and growing this baby, so that your birth experience is good. And, you know, the baby comes out vaginally, or maybe it's quick, or what have you noticed with your clients that have gone through your programs? Like, how has it changed? Maybe if they've had a baby a different one way and then they work with you and they have another one, or what are your overall statistics and the way that the birth goes in your opinion?
Well, my overall statistics as far as like vaginal birth rate is 96% as a birth coach. And that's in the 10 years I've been a birth coach.
That's amazing.
It's completely amazing, because there's so many variables and other factors that you have to work around to get a statistic like that. The thing about my expecting parents who train with me is they put the work in pregnancy. Like, they get in there, they do the exercises. If something is like bothering them or doesn't feel good, then we're like, okay, let's cater to their body and their needs and what she needs. And it's phenomenal. And one thing that really change my perspective in is birth should be quick. It should not last for days. It should not last for hours. You need to get in there, take care of business, and get out. So on average, my client's birth average is 8 hours, start to finish.
Wait. As a first-time mom?
First-time mom's start to finish is 8 hours.
Wow. Right?
A little bit of like a warm up, which it's early labor. Their body's kind of like getting going, and your uterus is warming up, and you get these nice little contractions. And then all of a sudden you got the running, like the active labor is like, she's going to run those contractions. She's going to get in there. She's going to focus. She's going to run that contraction. She's going to blow it away, and her body's going to rest. It's just like doing sprints, right? You're going to sprint. You're going to calm down. You're going to rest. You're going to get up there, wait till your body's ready, and you're going to go again. And then you're going to get into the hit, which is transition, where you're like on top of each other. You can't breathe. You're having trouble breathing. Oh my gosh, I'm not ready, but I have to do it again. And then the body starts spontaneously pushing, and boop, out comes a baby across the finish line. I see this all the time, like all the time. And that's, so average is 8 hours.
That is awesome. That is so cool. And as you were talking, it's really making me think that the people who do identify as like athletes, or they really love to train and work out, I think would be, and not that they have to be that way to be your perfect client, but I bet they love you and they love this whole thing.
Yeah, well, we get it, because, I mean, I speak athlete, so I understand, and I can, like, you've been an athlete, you've done whatever sport you're going to do, you know how to get in the zone. Like, what is that? And I ask them, what is that one thing of your sport that you would do, and you're like, your coach goes, okay, we're going to do this, and you just went, oh, gosh, I don't want to ever have to do that again, not less that many times, right? But even though you dread it, and knew how your body was going to feel because you had to do it X number of times, you would do it anyway because it was going to make you a better athlete. When you get in there and labor and you're birthing your baby, it's the exact same thing. You're not going to want to have those contractions, but you're going to get in there and you're going to run those contractions, and you're going to do it as many times as you need to meet your baby across the finish line. So when I relate to that, they get into that mental space and they're like, I know exactly how I need to focus. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to let my body do what it's created to do and have a baby. And I tell people, I was like, you can be an elite athlete or you can have never worked out a day in your life. You can train for birth. You just need to connect with that inner birthing power that is a godly phenomenon we are blessed with, that we know what to do. It's not educated. It's about all these other things on what birth has to do. But if you connect with that inner power you have, you're going to get in there, you're going to labor your baby down, and you're going to have a baby, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. That's literally what my clients say. They're like, that wasn't bad at all. And I'm like, I know, because you were in the zone. You weren't thinking about it. You took the thing out of birth, and boom, out comes a baby. So whether you identify as an athlete or not, you are one because you're created to birth your baby. You're going to run that birthing marathon.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, I was thinking about this the other day because, so my first birth was 36 hours, definitely not 8 hours. Oh my goodness, four times that. And somebody was saying to me years later, oh, well, like birth is a marathon. And I was thinking about, wait, a marathon is only like 4 or 5 hours. Birth is more like 5 marathons, you know, it can be. But I love that idea of this concept of getting into the zone. And this is something that I think people don't realize is so important. Birth is it's an altered state of consciousness. You are drugged by your own brain in a very good way with endorphins and this beautiful hormonal cascade that's happening intelligently for you, for your baby, for this process to occur and with very little hiccups, because it would not make sense, right? Okay, I'm a biologist at training. It would not make sense for 30% of our species to be unable to have a healthy, just normal, spontaneous vaginal birth. We would not be the most prolific species on the planet the way that we are. I mean, we're not the most prolific. I know there's bugs and stuff that outnumber us, but you know what I'm saying? So I just think that that's an interesting idea to think about, that and people are just like, oh my gosh, well, thank goodness there's all this medical care. And yeah, I understand. Of course, there are things that happen, but we really, I think, need to look at this through a different perspective. First of all, humans are different now than they were. We are the sickest that we've ever been in a chronic disease situation. I was just looking at a stat this morning, or a list rather, of the top 100 most prescribed pharmaceuticals in the country. And the first like 20 of them are either diabetes, metabolic syndrome management, or cardiovascular management. And it's like, okay, well, these are all preventable. Not diabetes type 1, of course, is not preventable in that kind of a sense, but this is a lifestyle issue, right? Then also, we are in this system that wants to poke and prod and measure and do something, and instead of just letting birth unfold the way that it's going to. So how do we like combat this? How do we get around all of this stuff? Well, yes, of course, we can be the healthiest we can be. We can also be very intentional about our training for birth. And I want to get into some of the specifics of what does that mean? Because I think people are like, what? So I'm an athlete, like I have to run. It's like, no, we're going to talk about that. But then also mindset and being able to turn off our very beautiful, yet in this situation of birth, very, I call it like a dystocia, right? And a dystocia is anything that's going to prevent the birth from happening the way that it should, or it maybe like gets you stuck. And our brains can give us a dystocia. They can be the dystocia, or somebody else in the room who we don't like can be the dystocia, whatever it is, where it's going to impede the flow of the birth going the way that we want it to. And when we start thinking and we're like, oh my God, what's happening over here? Who's that? What's that person doing? Wait, what did that person just say to me? Somebody's like poking, they're trying to put a blood pressure cuff on me. They're talking to me. They're making me sign a form. They're like doing all these different things. And we're pulled out of our monkey brain and we are made to be like lucid humans in the room instead of just going super deep and having this really intimate, amazing, powerful, psychedelic, explosive, transformative, dark night of the soul, rise up to the phoenix type experience, right? I mean, that's how it could be. It's like, what would we expect? Like, what do you expect if you're going to mess with somebody in that kind of a situation? And I really wish that we had more reverence to pause, slow down, sit back, let it happen the way that it's going to. And also for the women who are pregnant, becoming and wanting to become and then are pregnant, to know that there is this responsibility that we have to give our bodies the best shot. And with that includes being physically active in a multitude of different ways. Would you agree?
Yes. So wrapping back to the beginning of that, like we've gotten really far away from farm to table. Like just even the nutritional value in our foods is terrible. In America, vitamin D, magnesium, B12 are super deficient, which are being linked to preeclampsia, hypertension, things that we're having difficulties in with pregnancy, which could be handled preconception wise, but we're not educated on it, so we don't know. I've been learning more about that, which is utterly fascinating stuff.
So fascinating, right? And so frustrating, isn't it? Because it's like,
yeah. And then we're also getting away from the 7 primal movements our human bodies are supposed to be doing. There's 7 primal movements we should be doing every single day, pregnant or not. And ooh, with the way the electronic industry has blown out of proportion recently, we're lazy. We are utterly lazy. We sit for way too long, which fixes our pelvis. So I'm always like, a moving pelvis in pregnancy will be a moving pelvis at birth. If you're sitting still for hours upon hours, your pelvis is not going to move. You're going to be in labor for days. Then we come home from work and then we're like, I'm so tired from work, from staring at a computer and just being idle all day, that now we're leaning back into terrible positions, which then our baby is like, oh, let's go spine to spine, which has this posterior baby stuff that also makes a labor much more difficult and a lot more intense and discomfort. So the 7 primal movements, I'm sure everyone's like, what are they? What are they? Is push, pull, squat, lunge, twist, hinge, walk. 7 primal movements.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm following you. This is okay. It's like hinging forward from the waist to like pick something up, pushing something heavy, like, well, now I'm thinking of like CrossFit, pushing a tire or something like that, but it doesn't have to be that intense.
You push it and you pull it.
Yeah. Push it and pull it. Okay. Lunging, walking. Yes. Squatting. Yes. What did I miss?
Walk.
Twisting. Oh, twisting.
Yeah, even twisting. How many times have you heard, oh, don't you twist. Don't you lift something. Don't squat down and lift something.
Yeah.
Right. But we actually need to be doing these things. If you look at a woman laboring, she's going to even pull and push. She's going to pull on stuff. She's going to hang on stuff. She's going to push things away from her. She's going to pull things towards her. She's going to shift to the left, to the right, front, back. She's going to do all the primal movements in labor.
Wow.
So that's what Train for Birth has that implemented, 7 primal movements, and you practice and you practice and you practice. So you get used to those 7 primal movements, because in America, we are no longer used to those primal movements, a good majority of us.
Okay. And so for people who are like, okay, but why does that matter? Da, da, da. You could just do it in birth. No, no, no. Listen, imagine a cross section of a belly that you've seen maybe in some drawing or whatever. And it's like the pregnant little, you know, the baby and the uterus. And then you can see a bit of the pelvic floor and you see the bladder and the vaginal canal and whatever. Like imagine a cross section. Okay. Now we have to also imagine that there's all of this musculature. There is fascia. So fascia is sometimes people pronounce it different ways, but fascia is like when you're going to prepare a chicken and there's that kind of white coating that you can sort of rip off. That it's like a cobwebby type looking material. It's a connective tissue structure, but it's really amazing. And it sort of defies all like what we know about physics and it covers everything, all muscles, all tendons, it wraps everything. And it's connected. It's all sort of, it can like get adhesed to one spot, and then it prevents the good flow of lymphatics and the direction of movement and everything like that, the connection between the muscles and the bones, etc. So, and then there's these thicker pieces of connective tissue, like the tendons and the ligaments that are even holding up the uterus, whatever. The uterus itself is a muscle. There is a lot that has to work well. Blood flow, huge circulation, so that all these muscles are able to get the blood flow and the oxygen that they need. Then also, like you were mentioning about the pelvis is not one piece. I think that blows people's minds. It is 3 different pieces. There's 2, they're right and left, ilia, and then there's a sacrum. And it's going to move. It's going to all spread apart. And the sacrum is going to move quite far back. And that can be a little bit freaky sounding. Do you feel your pelvis moving? Some people, I think, do have that sensation, and where they can really feel that kind of expansion. But it's not like, like ripping open. It's not like that. It does happen. But imagine a pelvis that for the 9 months of the pregnancy, as the pelvis was adapting to a growing baby slowly, little by little, it's not like all of a sudden, poof, you have a 10-pound baby in there, or even, you know, 8-pound, whatever, but a full-term baby. That doesn't happen. You have a lot of time to adjust and grow. Imagine if you were able to have some sort of a routine in your day where you were specifically intentionally moving all of these muscles in this way to build up a nice strength and endurance of, you know, your short, your long fiber muscles. We don't have to go into all of those kinds of details. You had good lymphatic flow, good blood flow continually too, because throughout the entire time of pregnancy, your cardiovascular system is remodeling all the time. It's something that people don't really think about as one of the things that is a huge change in a woman's body. But literally you're making new arteries, new veins, your blood flow, volume is increased a lot. And so if over time you've had all of this like really good structure of the capillary beds that are in and around your uterus and in and around your hip bones and your muscles and your butt and your lower back and everything, all of that whole area has been kept really supple and like hydrated, you know, with having the good fascial health basically for the entire time, then during this big event of the way that everything has to coordinate and work together during birth and spread, move apart, it's going to be better. Like, of course it's going to work better than if we just sat and didn't do anything. And now, yes, if women sit and they don't do anything, like there is examples of women in comas who will still push out a baby. And yeah, of course. And is that like necessarily optimal, ideal? Do we wish to be that kind of situation and then hope for the best? No, of course not. Like, this is also good for your baby. The epigenetic changes of exercising in pregnancy are huge for your baby. This is good for you as well and your mental health and all sorts of different things. But I really just wanted to paint that picture because I'm very visual, and in my mind, that's what I saw was like a cross section and it being supple and healthy and a lot of good engorgement and blood and hormones and all of the different healing factors and all the different stuff that has to be down in that area versus if you're very stagnant and stiff. And this is what happens to older people too. Yes, it's partially age, but it's also lack of, it's like a rusty hinge, you know, they don't move it and it just becomes, there isn't fascial health anymore. There isn't good blood perfusion anymore. And you start to deteriorate. I mean, movement is life. Like, movement is medicine. And in the case of birth, there's a lot of movement needs.
Exactly. And all the systems of your body functioning together. And that's just the physical aspect of birth. We haven't even touched on mental and emotional aspect. Okay,
yeah. Well, I know that you mentioned that. Yeah. Please tell us how you do that part, because that I think, and I had mentioned a little bit earlier, but I think that that is so big, is this deep confidence and understanding that you're going to like go into this internal place in your mind and in your heart that's also going to like really impress you. And at the end of this, this is what people talk about with being empowered. Like, they had this moment where they were like, holy, like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I can do it. And then you do, and it's amazing. So how do you train your families in that mental, emotional aspect of side of things?
So I basically need endurance and stamina of the body, but I also want you to step up to the starting line of your birthing game day to run that birthing marathon with confidence. I want you to know that, yes, I can birth this baby. I am created to do this. My body will stretch just enough. So how we do that is repetition. So taking an athletic perspective on it is, when athletes are training for their sport, we practice and we do things over and over and over and over again. And the repetition is what makes us the athlete we are. So when we step out to that court, field, or track to do our sport, we just do it because our body is so well trained. We don't have to think about it. We take the think out of it. We get in our zone and we go. Right now, we have like mental farts that happen, right? We're like, whoop, got off the mental, let's get back in and get back in that zone, right? Which can happen in birth as well. But if you train yourself physically, that mental aspect comes along with it because it's the repetition of it. And then you step up to the starting line or the whistle blows or whatever, and you go. And you just get in your zone and you perform. Birth is the same way. If you get in there and start training your body and doing these different movements and you do it repetitiously, you're going to build the confidence because you're going to start feeling your body change and accommodate. Your baby is going to start being a lot more active because you're going to give your baby so much space in your belly and your pelvis. And your baby's like, thanks, mom. I love this space. I'm going to get in the best position for you because we're doing this together. And that's actually why the program is for 34 plus weeks, because I want moms training with a belly. I want them to be able to move their body, feel how the myofascial chains of the body work together, and their babies and the movement of their babies. And they get so much more in tune with their body and their baby, that confidence starts to rise. And then they're like, I can have a mom walk and go, I'm scared to death. I don't think I can do this. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, I just need you to train. I need you to practice and practice. And then we're going to talk about this a month later, see how you're doing. I'm starting to feel better. I think I can do this. And I'm like, I know you can do this. And then the starting day comes and she's like, I got this. I'm going to do this. And she goes boom, right into that burst zone. And then she gets in there. She runs those contractions. She rests when her body rests. And before she knows it, she's holding her baby. And she's like, I did it. And I'm like, of course you did. I had no doubts. But it's getting the expecting mom who's going to run the birthing marathon to believe that, yes, she can. It's her confidence. I know she can do it. 100% believe it. But I'm not the one birthing the baby. Been there, done that twice. but she is. So I have to get her into that zone and get her to hold that zone. And I also teach her partner how to help her stay in that zone and do his part. And they labor together. They created the baby. They're going to have the baby together. I'm just the birth coach. I just coach what's happening, or I'm the trainer teaching expecting parents how to get the natural birth skill set, how to condition the body, how to condition the mind, get in there and go with confidence.
I love that. That's amazing. And when you were saying repetition, it reminded me, I did a hypnobirthing birth education course with my first, and it kind of felt silly and hokey, but she had us doing so many practice contractions where we would like set the timer for 1 minute and do the breathing. And like, you know, obviously I wasn't feeling anything, but I was pretending to like take a really big deep breath. As soon as you start to feel that contraction come in, blow it all out, and then like start to ohm and move and, you know, hang on my husband in this kind of way. Or like, then we would take one on the back of the toilet and we'd take one on leaning over the edge of the bed, take one on hands and knees, take one over here, da, 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 da. And she had us do it so many times. It was part of our homework. We had to do it at home too. We were supposed to do it every single night. Did I? Not necessarily, but whatever. You know what I mean? We did it so many times. And I think that just in a, it sounds like it would be teeny tiny, but, and this isn't even like really working your muscles in any kind of crazy way, but it's just the idea that you have walked through the motions a couple of times, or hopefully several times, so that then when there is this added layer of the sensation and the pressure and intensity of birth, of the contractions, you're not shocked. Like you're not, and you're not like, what do I do? You're not grappling for positions. You're not really like, oh, that's what a minute feels like when I'm in intense, you know, I'm in an intense, painful contraction or whatever. You know, it just takes off that newness or that novel, like maybe any fear that you had around that portion of it. It also, like we know about athletes too, when they're doing visualization training and their muscles are twitching in the ways just as if they were playing the sport. And like their brain is activated in all these ways that would be consistent with if they were actually out on the court doing whatever they're doing. And they may just be laying there meditating and thinking about it. And it's so cool. And it's so amazing. It's these like little micro twitch muscle things. But same thing, if we can be having these strong visualizations of the way that we want our labor to go, and then we're going through the motions and we're physically doing it, then you already know what to do. You don't have to think about that anymore. And it's huge.
That's right. You take the think out of birth. Yes. I mean, there's other mammals on this planet. Do you think they're like, oh, wait a minute. Should I do that? Should I do that? Or, you know, like, should I accept a vaginal check or shouldn't I? No yeah. one else is doing that type of stuff except us human beings, right? We're totally thinking too much. We're not, you know, other mammals are getting in safe, vulnerable places. And if they're not safe or vulnerable, they move and then they birth the baby then, right? Human beings aren't doing that. So when I actually developed Train for Birth, I started watching women labor naturally. What were they doing? Were they squatting? Were they lunging? Were they shifting their hips? What were they doing with their bodies? Are they standing up? Are they on the ground? Like, what were they doing? And I was like, huh. I can train for that. So I wrote the program based on what you're already going to do in labor. So now I'm like, here you go. Now go practice it because you're going to already do this in labor. And that's part of the why it works as well. It's you're doing what you're already going to do and it builds your confidence. So I'll give you an example. You've birthed four babies at home. So one of the positions that I see a lot of home birth, because I love doing home births, is leaning over using your puny little arms. We don't have much muscles in our arms. We have big muscles in our legs that are like, that's because our bodies are erect. But when you're birthing a baby, you're going to be leaning on your arms. You're going to be on hands and knees. You're going to be shifting here and changing here. And your arms get tired. Your wrists, your shoulders get tired before a baby comes out of your body. So one of the things I have, one of the silliest, little, simplest things in the program is you need to crawl around on your hands for 10 minutes. And then the closer you get to meeting your baby, that amount of time goes up as you break it out for your day, so you can build the endurance and stamina in your arms and shoulders to hold your body up in labor. Because how often are you on hands and knees every single day? In labor, you can be on hands and knees for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, right? And your arms are going to be like, I just can't do it anymore. So I condition all the myofascial chains of the body so you can get in whatever position you want to labor, to birth, and you're conditioned.
Yeah. And I think for anybody who hasn't given birth yet, who's thinking to themselves, well, you could just get into a different position. It's like, no, when you find something that's comfortable and it's working for you, you're going to want to stay there. You know, you're not going to want to move out. And so if that's hands and knees, or I totally can resonate with what you're saying, because I used to do a lot of yoga before kids and I was always on my hands and knees and in downward dogs, and I never had any issues with my wrists. Then now I've had multiple children, and the way that, you know, like with carrying them and holding them, and especially like asymmetrical, I'm always holding my kids on the left because I'm right-handed. And now in my, like, you know, last couple of years, I've had a lot of weird wrist issues and problems. And it is something that kind of freaked me out in my most recent couple of births, because I was like, wait a minute, what am I going to, it's hard for me to like put my full body weight pressure on my hand when it's in that sort of like a position and whatever. Anyway, so it's something that it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal. But let me tell you, when you are chugging through this very extremely intense and amazing experience. I am not somebody who discusses birth as if it's like not painful, because I think it is, but I think it's amazing. And it's not like bone breaking, runaway, horrible pain in that kind of a way. It's like, whoa, holy crap, your body's like making a diamond out of the baby. And then boom, it's done. And then you have a break. And then you like take some sips of water and you close your eyes and you just fully, boom, you relax. Like you completely relax, let your mitochondria kind of catch up with all of the ATP that they're making, right? And so your ATP is like your little cellular energy. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that, because I think that people can be like, oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's like, nope, it does matter. And you don't want to be fatiguing out in like your pecs and your shoulders or your hands are feeling really unstable in an otherwise really comfortable position, because it's just going to kind of make you overall feel weak or overall start to kind of collapse. And you don't want to collapse mentally when you're getting so close to the end, you know? And usually that's when you would be fatiguing out, because you've been holding that position for hours.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like to use the word pain and train for birth. I like to use some level of intensity and some level of discomfort, because it's going to be different for each individual and how they handle it. But if you're going to fight it and wish it's never going to happen to your body, you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be kind of high intensity, high discomfort. But if you get in there and you breathe and you move and you stay well hydrated, it's not going to be that bad. You're controlling that intensity level and that discomfort. I think especially for childbirth, there's a huge scare tactic of, oh my gosh, it's going to be painful, which some people do experience that. I'm not saying they don't.
Right, right.
But it's also definitely sold as a marketing scheme through the medical field that it's too painful. You need to have pain relief with our epidural or our drugs or whatever. It is advertised that childbirth is painful. And when we hear the word pain, we all get triggered. We're like, oh no, nobody wants to be in pain, because we've had painful things happen over our life and our bodies that don't feel good. We stubbed a toe or we broke a bone. Yeah, that's pain. Our body's like, why did you do that to me? That's not normal.
Yeah.
Childbirth is normal. Our bodies are supposed to do that. So it should be some level of intensity, some level of discomfort, and kind of get away from that mental anguish or that anticipation that it's going to be so terrible. Because if you go into your birthing experience thinking that, you're already behind the curve.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think for some people are definitely going to be more triggered by that word and that idea than others. And I think it's interesting. I have been I'm not DONA certified as a doula, but I have attended, I've been sort of like that person, a labor support person for people in the past. And one of the first ones that I attended, she was a first birth and she had done a hypnobirthing course training. She was birthing in the hospital and she was so amazing to watch. She sat on the ball pretty much the entire time and she started to feel a contraction trickle in and would turn her palms upwards, relaxing them on her knees, and would go with these like big horse lips, and like her whole body would just like slump and relax, and she was completely relaxed. And then she would just do these big undulating circles all around and was and lots of vocalizations, you know, moaning like, oh, doing the whole thing. But she was it was almost as if her entire musculature just draped down in complete relaxation around her hardening belly. And at the end, afterwards, we talked about it, it was a really great birth. She really didn't identify it being painful. She was like, it was really intensity and pressure. She's like, but not pain. And I should say too, I think I use the word pain just to clarify too. I'm not personally triggered by that word. So I should probably be more cognizant of how that can come across to certain people. It's not pain like stub a toe pain. It's just overwhelming. It's like an overwhelming intensity.
Overwhelming. Yep.
Where you're like, holy crap. But that part of it, that peak of the, where it's the most overwhelming is really only like 10 seconds, like 15 seconds. And you know, cause there's the climbing up and then there's the going down. So it's not like it's manageable. It is manageable. But I have had one moment, and that was with my most recent birth, where I started to lose it. Like I started to really lose my, focus, like my mental game started to waver and it all felt so much worse to me. And I'd never had that experience actually before. And so I couldn't relate, but now I can relate what you were talking about. It's like the fear, tension, pain cycle, right? So when we're afraid, we tense up. When we tense up, we experience it to be more painful. And that's partially because of your muscles are literally tenser. And so the blood flow cannot get to the muscle as well. And it almost has this bit of hypoxia. And that's like why a Charlie horse hurts. When you get a cramp in your leg and you get a Charlie horse, the pain from that is not caused by the muscle contraction. It's caused because it is contracting so hard that it's squeezing all the blood out and your body's going, whoa, 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 and trying to draw your attention to it because it's not good for your muscle to have no blood flow because it will die eventually, you know? So it's your body's way of trying to signal to you something's wrong. But anyway, like this fear, tension, pain cycle is very well established. It's very well researched. It's a real thing. And I think I was having this moment. It was her head was just about to come out and something was kind of weird feeling. And she was sort of kicking me on the inside and she was moving. It was just like so overwhelming. And I kind of just like lost my mental state for maybe like, I don't know, like 45 seconds, like maybe 90 seconds. It was really short, but I was having this like hyper metacognitive moment in the, and I was like, I knew what was happening. I knew I was starting to pull out and be not in that really, really focused mental state. And I was like, oh no, this feels so much worse. If my whole birth was dealt in this mindset that I'm in right now, I can see why people would think, absolutely not. I can never do this. 100% no. But you got to like, you have to pull yourself together. Like, and that's what you were talking about too, with mental, the training of the mental side of it with the athletes and the athleticism in your sport is when you know you have to do something, you don't want to do it. And you're like, how do you go inward and get yourself situated and get right? And I had to like, it took every fiber of my being as it is, right? But I had to like, just do like three horse breaths in a row to like, kind of like come back down. It was like, I was starting to go up, you know, and I needed to like come back down into my body, be actualized, relax a little bit and find my breath again and find my rhythm and my groove. And it makes me sad though, thinking that so many women are not allotted that opportunity even to find their groove in the first place because they're being disrupted so many times. And so then of course, like you can't really find a flow. You know, this is like artists and, you know, musicians or painters or whoever, and they get into this flow state and then they just start to go off, you know, and time has no meaning anymore. And you're just like in this different brainwave state. That's what that is. And we know that birth is in a different brainwave state. And if we don't allow it to stay there, we're really doing ourselves such a disservice. So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that idea that, you know, the connection here between our mental state, the way that it feels, whether it's, you know, pain, discomfort, pressure, whatever, da, 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 and how important it is to have either some sort of a strong practice in, you know, your own mental, emotional flow. And it doesn't have to be meditation. You don't have to be sitting there cross-legged all the time. It just needs to be that you have a tool to come back to. What kind of things do you teach in your courses that are some of the things that people have the most success with, or that they continually really seem to love?
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
It's no secret that most women are not getting adequate protein in their daily diets. We need protein for all major body functions, including hormone production, to maintain a healthy, regular menstrual cycle. The requirements for protein only increase when we become pregnant, are nursing, and recovering postpartum. There are many options on the market for protein and collagen powders out there, and we understand that it can be tricky to vet all of the various brands and types. So let me make it easy for you. The Needed collagen powder is my top recommendation for an easy to mix, quick dissolving, and completely tasteless supplemental protein for many reasons. It's grass-fed, sustainably sourced, and has 14 grams of protein per scoop. It passes rigorous third-party testing for heavy metals contamination, and the company keeps this information transparent for the public. I mix mine into coffee, oatmeal, or smoothies almost every day. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Again, head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save.
Okay, back to the show.
Before I answer that, there's also like other variables to kind of go a little bit more on what you're saying. There's other variables that can also cause things to be a little bit more intense, like lack of water. If you're not staying well hydrated in labor, it's going to make the intensity more. Baby's position. Does baby have a hand or arm up by the face or chin or something like that? That can make things a little bit more tense. Baby's positioning, not using gravity, not moving your body. Number one thing when I go out, I do labor stalls in my area. So midwives will call me out and be like, hey, I need help getting this baby out at the home. Can you come out and work your magic? And I'm like, absolutely. So when I walk in, the first thing I see is their knees are locked and they're barely moving. So one tip I would like to share with everyone for laboring is soften your knees and move your hips. The more you soften your knees and move your hips, the easier it's going to be on you. And I train my clients in this so they already do it. But when I go out to someone I don't know and being welcome into their birth space, you know, I'm starting to coach and help them soften your knees and move your hips. You will decrease the amount of intensity significantly just by doing that.
I really love that. That is such a good tip. And I can also relate with my first birth. I didn't move. Towards the end, I was so just done and tired. And I really was just sort of like standing still during the contraction, getting through it and then relaxing. And I had this person like you basically who came in. She was going to be my doula and then she didn't really end up coming. I had sort of told her that I didn't feel like I needed her, but she didn't hear from me for like 2 days. So she came to my house and everyone else was so exhausted. They'd been there for a long time and she was this fresh pair of eyes. And exactly like you said, she noticed that I was not moving. She made me do some squats up and down on the toilet. I had a huge contraction. He moved down several inches, what it felt like. And then boom, now I was in the pushing mode. Like I could feel pushing and I was connecting to it. And then like, you know, it still took a long time to get him out because he was in the wrong position. But that was a game changer for my entire experience, was just moving.
Yeah. Well, 36 hours of labor, I'm sure you were utterly exhausted and be like, I'm done.
Yeah, it was, he was posterior. Yes, he was posterior and then it, and asynclitic. And then it was just, and I thought that I knew a lot. And I think I did that thing that a lot of first time moms do where you get really excited and you decide not to rest in the beginning. Because I was like, I'm going to get up. We're going to go on a walk. I'm going to get this baby out. So, you know, when the contractions were like every 15 minutes, it's just, it's hard not to do that when you're so excited and you're really ready to meet your baby and you think you're going to maybe like make it go faster. But I do think that in the early phases of labor, it's like, you just got to like kind of wait till it, this is what it makes me think of is, you know, those pendulum things, it's like wooden and there's all the metal balls that are hanging from the strings and you like knock one and it knocks them and then they start to go. And then if you pick them up and sometimes they can kind of knock into each other and they're like all going randomly. But then no matter what you do, it's like the coolest little math science experiment, they will find a rhythm and they'll start to click. Like maybe it's two, three, however it is that they go and they click. And that to me is sort of like the difference between early labor and then active labor. Early labor, this like your uterus is trying to like warm up, figure it out, like doing all this, what's going on. And then active labor is just like, like it's chugging. It's a train you can't get off now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyways.
And the Train for Birth workshop, to get back to your question, is, you know, early labor warm up. I teach conserve energy. Don't do anything. Don't even time contractions. There's no need to. A baby's not going to fall out of your body, but absolutely do nothing, because I train natural birth and I don't want maternal exhaustion to sit in at the end. And the way that doesn't happen is you sit and you do nothing, right? Yep. Literally conserve energy. You eat, you drink, you do nothing. And then when your body starts running and things get a little bit more intense, now we're like, all right, now it's time to move. You need to move and work through these contractions. It is time to work. Same thing as an athletic sporting event. You're going to warm up. You're going to kind of get loose, get your body moving. And all of a sudden it's like, it's game time. You're going to get in there and you're going to push, right? You're going to like knock out this running, and then you're going to rest when your body rests. That's another common thing that moms will do, is they're like, they'll work through the contraction and they're up and doing stuff and they keep moving. I'm like, we're going to practice resting. Our body's resting. It's giving us a break. We're going to go low and loose, you know, melt like butter and do nothing until our body's ready. That's how we get through the active labor part or running part. But with the program, we train with intensity. The more intense you train, mentally, some physically, depending on what aspect we're training, we do those two together. So one of the most intense thing I do in the training is wall sits. Wall sits burn. No athlete I've ran into was like, oh yeah, me, pick me. I want to do wall sit after wall sit. No, it just doesn't happen. They're uncomfortable. They are intense. So we train that because I want you to train with intensity. I want you to feel the burn in your quads. I want your legs to start shaking, because when you're in the active labor transition phase of labor, you're going to be feeling that burn. You're going to be feeling that shake of the entire body by the hormones. So I want you to get used to the fact that this is normal. Yes. This is hard work. Doing a wall sit, and then it's going to translate to being hard work in labor, but you've practiced it. So when your body starts to do it, you're like, oh, this is normal. You've trained your body that this is okay to do, and therefore you don't fear it. So you stay in the zone. This is also where hiring a birth coach, a birth doula, a very supportive partner, or whoever that person may be, to help coach you, to be in your ear being like, this is normal. You train for this. You got this. You're doing exactly what you need to be doing in this moment. Train for Birth trains all expecting parents, right? I also train midwives and doulas and chiropractors and physical therapists and a couple OBs, believe it or not. So I train birth professionals as well, but we train with intensity. And when we do these wall sits, we are building our nice, sexy birth and legs, because you're going to use your legs a lot in labor, but it's also getting your body and your mind used to the fact that the burning and the shake is okay. And then you snap in that birth zone and you just sit there, and we build off of that. And when you feel like you can sit there for a minute and a half or 2 minutes, because transitional contractions can last up to a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And you feel like, I got this, and you just snap in that zone. You're like, oh my gosh, a minute and a half is gone. Wow. I didn't even think about it. Right. That's where I want you. You sit down, you do it, you're done. Then we do a little bit more intensity. You can add a weight. Maybe you want to hold some ice or stick your hands in ice buckets or something, a little bit more discomfort. So you have to find that focus and really train that mind that I can welcome this intensity. I can move through this intensity. And when this intensity is gone, I'm going to blow it away and I'm going to let my body rest. So it literally trains for the rhythm that you're going to experience naturally, whatever that rhythm is for your body during your birthing game day, it trains that.
I love that. I think that's so smart. And I, you know, the holding ice thing, I think goes back to what, like the original sort of Lamaze classes, but it is such a powerful tool of just having the experience of extreme discomfort and continuing to do it and just breathe. And know you're going to be okay on the other side. It's slowly building a mental resilience, and it's slowly building your confidence, like you mentioned before. And it reminds me of the idea of, like, you know, cold plunging and ice baths, and everybody's very into that. And yes, there are physiological benefits of the cold, but I think another huge aspect of this that isn't talked about as much is just how that mental, one of the reasons why it helps in the long term with mental health outcomes is because it is slowly building your thresholds and your resilience for hard moments and when things get tough. And then you know that, you know, because you've had that practice of going there and being okay at the end. And then you see yourself, maybe you don't even subconsciously have that thought of like, wow, good job, I did it. But it's internalized in your body and your body is remembering it and feeling it. And then the next time that you have to meet something that's difficult, you rise to the occasion, you do it, you know you're going to be okay again. And it's just that cycle again and again and again with birth. Whether you gain that confidence from holding ice or you just, you know, have it inherently or whatever, it is a good idea though to walk through some of these exercises, especially when we have goals of being in places and spaces. And that's where you tend to be the doula, is at home or birth center, right? Where there isn't the pain medication to fall back on anyway. So it's like, nope, you're going to do this and you're going to be okay. It's a very psychedelic experience in that sort of a way of entering this experience and being like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be good. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be holding my baby at the end of the day. And also obviously very motivating.
Your body tunes into your own natural pain relief too. If you allow the body to adjust and you keep yourself in that zone, then those endorphins kick in and then you have your own natural pain relief. And then if you know, you need a little bit of help, man, we have this beautiful thing called water. Emerging in water or getting in the water, it is another thing. It's there's so many things where you can like look at pain relief in such a different way. I put that in quotes than drugs, but it's not advertised. We're the natural birthing is over in like the 2% area, right? Because everyone is like sold on the fact that, hey, you need to go to the hospital and get your drugs because, you know, that's how you're going to have a painless birth. Right. But that's just, I mean, that marketing has been going on over 100 years. And it's like, we are sold as a society and we're conditioned that that's how it should be. And I'm over here in this little 2% along with you trying to educate people. Hey, there's this whole new world out here that, you know, we're actually created. This is what we're supposed to be doing.
It's awesome too. It really is awesome.
How do you get afterwards?
Yes. And it's like, you know, the epidural thing, people have to remember the pharmaceutical companies are companies, they're businesses, right? And it is in their best interest to make money. And so all of this marketing makes total complete sense. Now, if you want to choose that, fine, go for it. But if your goal is to do an unmedicated and experience the full thing, there are tools, and this is, I guess, our point, is that there are tools to prepare you and put you in the best chance of that happening, right? Like, so that you also have a good experience, you also come out and feel empowered. I had a question for you about the way that your program works. Do you, are you like, okay, so I've seen on some of your social media content where you'll be talking about like internal rotation and external rotation of the hips at different parts of the birth and in the labor. Is your program sort of like, here's what you should or could be doing at different parts of the birth, like these types of movements? Or is it more like, here, we're going to train for this time period and then like you're off, like do your own thing during birth? Or how is it structured? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So Train for Birth has the natural birth skill set, the education. What is it? It's not based on dilation. I think dilation is completely overrated. It's based on where's the baby located in your pelvis. And we're going to work the baby through your pelvis, through the pathway. And then we're going to train the top of the pelvis. We're going to train the middle of the pelvis. We're going to train the bottom of the pelvis. So for those people who train with me in person, then I'm able to evaluate their body and be like, okay, you need to do a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, or here's a little bit extra homework. For those people who do my virtual program and everything's pre-recorded, then they get all the skill set as far as the natural birth, but then there's a troubleshooting section. Like if you're having pubic bone pain, here are some exercises to do. If you're having SI joint pain, which is in your lower back, here are some exercises. Or if your tailbone hurts or whatever, there's like troubleshooting. Or maybe your baby likes to hang out in the posterior side of your body. Here's how you help rotate the baby. Like there's troubleshooting videos. So that's kind of what they do. Or they have the opportunity to purchase a coach it with me. And then I get on, you know, like virtually and work them through that. But yeah, there's extra things depending on what each individual needs. But otherwise it's just a natural birth skill set. There's actual videos or partner training depending on in person or virtually. And then you just condition the body and you condition the mind with the actual training program. There's a packet that you has the whole program written out what to do. And it's labeled like, you know, the warm up and then mobility section. And then there's like the ice training in there. There's a couple other little neat little drills to do. And then you do top of pelvis training, mid pelvis training, bottom pelvis training. And I expect everyone to train every day. I train every day for my competitive athlete stuff that I like to do. And I understand that life happens, right? So you're not going to get the full program in. Life happens for me. I don't get my full program in, but do something at least 10 minutes every single day, bare minimum. And you train one thing for the top of the pelvis, one thing for the middle, one for the bottom. So you at least done the repetition for that day and you haven't skipped it, right? Or maybe you need like a little recovery day because, you know, you did too much work somewhere else or what, you get the idea. Just it's the repetition. But I know if my elite athletes, they're going to get in there and they're going to do all five sets. Now, if I have a mom who's never worked out a day in her life, I do not expect her to do five sets. I expect her to do at least one, or if she can't get to that one, do half of it and build from there. But it's very doable for anyone who has the willingness and determination to get in there and do it.
And this is from 34 weeks on, right?
It, Train for Birth workshop is for 34 plus weeks. Yes. If they would like the Train for Birth pregnancy training program, so they want to stay active through their entire pregnancy, I have a different program from 6 weeks of pregnancy all the way to 35 weeks of pregnancy that has five workouts every single day. There's a PDF to tell you what to do with how many reps, and there's video demo of everything on how to do everything. And that's a stay active type of thing through pregnancy to keep the myofascial chains, you know, well intact with strength and mobility as the body accommodates for a growing baby.
Adjust.
So there's two separate things, or there's, I have an elite program that contains it all, but you can do either or both or whatever.
Okay. That's amazing. And then tell us about the free one as well. When is that?
Okay. So I teach free classes because I think everyone deserves knowledge and I just love to educate. That's why there's so much education on my social media platforms for anyone who would like to listen. I'm big on teaching theory and I'm also big on teaching with demonstration, the practical side of things. So I teach Birth Prep 101 on Instagram and Facebook at Serene Life Doula every first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. Central Time. And then when there is a fifth Wednesday of the month, I teach Partners at Birth. So it's for the partners. I expect both expecting parents to be at all the classes. It's fun. It's simple knowledge. Birth Prep 101, we cover 20 questions to ask your healthcare provider to start these healthy conversations and know it's okay to ask questions and to put you as the captain of your birth team as we go through and help you achieve whatever birthing goal you have set for yourself. And then Partners at Birth, I think partners would be more active participants in their birthing experience if they just knew what to do. They just don't know what to do. So that just gives them a list of things. Hey, here's some things you can help with. And then they can pick and choose and talk to each other and figure out what works best as they work together as a birth team to meet their goals.
Awesome. Yeah, that is one thing that I talk about a lot too is it's kind of a funny situation where we expect, you know, usually a man who's obviously never given birth to be the primary source of labor support. This is like my one thing that I really harp home when I'm trying to get people to hire a doula, or at least to understand the importance of a doula, is like, if you're having a home birth, your midwife will probably come and go, but they're not going to be there the whole time. If you're having a birth center birth or a hospital birth, you have to be at a certain point in your labor before you're even allowed to come and be there. So you may have a lot of laboring at your house by yourself with your partner. And if they don't really know how to support you or what to be doing, or, you know, is it normal? I think that's like one of the main things. And you said that a lot earlier too, is just normalizing and to have a fresh set of professional eyes to be watching and holding witness to this beautiful space, holding space for it to say, this is great. You're doing great. You're doing perfect. I know it feels really intense. This is all totally normal. You're doing amazing. Like, that's what I needed to hear, because I kept thinking in my mind, like, oh my God, like, when is this going to be over? Like, what is going on? It just felt like it was so long. And my partner too, that was his main thing, was feeling like, is it okay that it's lasting this long? But then everyone, all the, you know, the midwife and the student midwives were just like so chill, like braiding their hair in the corner. And so he was kind of like, I guess this is normal. So anyway, I think that that's a really important point. And some partners are going to be really involved. Some of them are going to feel like really fearful. So I think having professional training and organization and expectations right, and to hear it from someone else who does this day in and day out. Look, this is normal. This is okay. Hey, it's hard to see your partner in pain. Like, I get it. It's hard to see them working through something, but like, they're doing like, how cool also that they're doing this. And, you know, having them also understand, like, what I tell people all the time, and I have this 6-week pregnancy course where I teach basically like pregnancy health optimization, a bit about birth, a bit about breastfeeding, and then postpartum recovery and health as well. And one of the things in the birth part, when I'm talking about partners, is show them videos, right? And I'm sure you talk about this too, is like, show them videos of birthing women in all sorts of different situations, loud ones, quiet ones, screaming ones, da da da, like, so that they are not shocked by anything that could be happening. Cause you might be a little like kind of quiet, introverted person. And then during your labor, you're like screaming bloody murder, who knows? Or opposite, like me, I'm very extroverted. I talk a lot, but I'm actually like a silent birther because I have to go. I'm like so in my head, or I'm not really in my head, like thinking, but I can't even verbalize very. I moan a little bit, but that's it. Anyway, so just so that they can watch it and they can see it and know, and having that information is so huge to their experience because this is their birth of their child too. And yeah, they're not the one that's giving the birth, but like, you want them to not feel like panicked the whole time. And also you as the birthing person are going to feed off of that energy if they're like really stressed and anxious about it. So I think it's really important. I just wanted to like bring that home, that kind of a class for anybody who maybe thinks it's not that important. I think it's very important. So we will put all of this information in the show notes, all of Krisha's, like the social media channel, the website, and the links to all of these different classes and information so that you guys can find her and learn from her. And just thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today. Did you have anything else that you wanted to end with? Just wanted to give you a chance to wrap up.
Well, I appreciate you connecting with me and giving me this opportunity to help educate expecting parents across the world. It's exciting. But I want to say, train your body, train your mind, labor your baby across the finish line.
I love that. Oh, cute. I bet you have some like shirts or something that say that. Yeah?
No, I don't. No.
Well, some stickers, bumper stickers. I think that is like at least a...
I'd rather be educating and spreading my knowledge than trying to figure out shirts and where to buy them from and all that stuff.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's a good point. It does take a long time. I love that line. So anyways, thank you so much, Krisha. Have a really good rest of your week, everybody.
Awesome.
Getting sick while pregnant or breastfeeding is tricky, not only because you feel like crap and need to get back on your feet to grow and take care of your children, but also because you may not know what is safe or effective to take and do to help yourself. The internet is not very helpful when it comes to searching for cold and flu remedies that are safe while pregnant and breastfeeding, so I've made a course that outlines it all for you. I also threw in allergy remedies as well as natural UTI care, because often there are things that can be done to prevent the need for antibiotics. Moms really shouldn't be allowed to get sick, but here we are. Find the course link in the show notes and get back to feeling well by supporting your immune system naturally and safely. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.